Welcome to Epiphany with communications evangelist Vanessa Denha-Garmo, encouraging listeners to connect, collaborate, and communicate with the faith community. Here's your host, Vanessa Denha-Garmo.
Good Saturday, everyone. Today is St. Charbel's feast day, so happy feast day to St. Charbel. St. Charbel Makhlouf was a Maronite monk and priest from Lebanon. During his life, he obtained a wide reputation for holiness, and he has been canonized by the Catholic Church. He's known among Lebanese Christians as the Miracle Monk of Lebanon, and there is a great devotion, too, within the Chaldean community to St. Charbel. And I first learned about St. Charbel many years ago as a young child because I lived across the street from the Giacchino family. And I didn't realize it at the time when they would talk about it, but St. Charbel was actually, I believe, the great-great-uncle of Mr. Giacchino because his mom was a Makhlouf. It was her great-great-uncle or something like that, but they are in the family line of St. Charbel. I didn't realize that until I got older. I'm like, oh, that's why you guys always talk about St. Charbel. So it is his feast day, and to talk with us about his feast day coming up on the show here in Epiphany is our first guest is going to be Father Joseph Khalil, speaking about St. Charbel, and we'll be also talking about the dire situation in Lebanon. He'll be our first guest today. We also have Father Stephen Polish joining us. He was appointed a full-time faculty and external formation position at Sacred Heart Major Seminary. That is effective, this past July 1st. Father Polish served as the Director of Evangelization and Missionary Discipleship within the Archdiocese Curia, and celebrates the service of our Archbishop Alan Vigneron as he celebrates his 25th year anniversary this month. So we'll be talking with Father Stephen Polis about Archbishop Alan Vigneron today here in Epiphany. And then Colleen Vilmulin, who is my professor in the second year of the Catholic Biblical School of Michigan. She's the director and instructor at the Catholic Biblical School of Michigan. She's giving us details about the four-year program, the books of the Bible being studied, the growth of the online courses, and much more. I'm going into my third year. I'm also going to be starting my master's program with the Franciscan University of Steubenville. Very excited. I'm going to be doing that very slowly, and I have to thank Al Cresta for writing an endorsement letter for me, along with Bishop Francis and ECRC to help me to write endorsements for me to get into the program. So I thank them so much for that. I'm very excited about that program because I won't be studying theology and evangelization to get a degree for a job. I'm really going to enjoy learning, unlike when I was in college getting my bachelor's and getting my master's, so focused on just finishing because I wanted to get the degree to help my career. And this is really about my own formation, my spiritual formation, my understanding, my learning more about the faith and evangelization, and really tying into the work that I do here on Ave Maria Radio. So I'm very excited about that, and I thank them all for writing those endorsement letters for me. Right now, I want to invite Father Joseph Khalil to the show, speaking about St. Charbel and talking about the dire situation in Lebanon. Father Joseph Khalil has been on the show before. He's of the Maronite Order of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Father Joseph Khalil, how are you today?
Good morning, Vanessa.
It's always a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you for coming on Epiphany. We have something really wonderful to talk about and something very sad to talk about with you today with what's going on in Lebanon. But first, I want to talk about St. Charbel. You know, he is very much like the Lebanon community, the Chaldean community, has a very strong devotion to St. Charbel. So what can you share with us about St. Charbel?
You know, first of all, good morning to all the listeners. Good morning to you, to your producer, and to all those who work in, you know, in the radio. God bless you for what you're doing.
Thank you, Father. Thank you.
Especially as it is today, St. Charbel, if you say, I can say, you know, he is a phenomenon. He has no geographic or confessional limits. You know, he has a wide reputation for holiness for Lebanese, Chaldean, for everybody in the world. I can't say about St. Charbel, I can divide his life in three moments.
Mm-hmm.
I can divide his life in three, cadets, 23 years of his life. First 23 years of his life was a normal person, lived in a normal, poor family. And then 23 years after, when he entered the Lebanese Maronite Order, as a monk and a priest later. And then the last 23 years of his life was in the hermitage. He was a hermit. So Saint Charbel, you know, in the beginning of his life, he was very well inspired by his two uncles. They were a monk. They lived in a monastery. They had a religious life. So he was inspired by them. And as a poor, his dad was dead. You know, he was 3 years old when his dad died. And he was very pious. He used to go with his small herd, as he was a small shepherd, you know, to the field, where he would let them graze while he went to a small cave. And there he fell into a deep prayer in front of an icon of the Virgin Mary. Mm-hmm. So they said this was the first hermitage for him from the beginning of his life. So, and then after, at the age of 23, he felt he wanna become a monk. He left his family and entered the monastery, spent 7 years studying, you know, there, and preparing himself to be a priest. He was ordained later on, you know, at 1859. Actually, he was born, at 1822, and he was ordained at 1859 as a holy priest. He was in the monastery praying and working in the field also with his brother's monks. Mm. But to get to the hermitage, the miracles happened with Saint Charbel, actually. Why? Because to get the permission to enter the hermitage, he needed approval of his superior. What happened that day, his superior, you know, witnessed a wonderful miracle. We called it miracle of the lamp. Hmm. I don't know if we can imagine at that time, the 1880s, they don't have, you know, electricity as we have now, power as we have now. So they used the oil lamp. So what happened that night, Saint Charbel asked a worker at the monastery to refill the oil lamp, you know, because he was out of lamp that he was using in his room, in his cells. You know, also, he was praying that night. Mm-hmm. So the worker filled it with water instead of oil. He was, you know, mocking at him. Usually, the people at that time mocked at Saint Charbel. You know, a lot of monks, you know, look at him and say, "Oh, you are a saint. You think you're better than us." Stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So that worker in the monastery, mocking at him, he filled that oil lamp with water instead of oil. So the lamp, you know, gave light as usual and kept burning through all the night.
Wow!
That was the first miracle happened. So the superior, you know, witnessed that miracle, and he got the approval to enter the hermitage. And there he entered the hermitage and spent 23 years, you know, in prayers, in contemplation, worshiping the Lord, you know, and kneeling, you know, austerely before Jesus, the Holy Eucharist, praying quietly to him and immersing himself in him throughout the night. That's why he was known as the saint inebriated with God.
Wow.
Like he was drunk by God.
And he's known, Father Julio, as the miracle monk.
Yes.
Yeah.
A Maronite monk, yes. Mm. He was a Maronite Catholic, you know, monk.
Yes.
When we say about Maronite, it's an Eastern church. It's an Eastern church in the Middle East, especially in Lebanon. This is the huge church, actually, the big church in Lebanon. It is one of the 23 such Eastern churches, you know, Catholic churches, Suyuri's particular churches, in full communion with the Pope and with the Catholic Church. Mm. So from that church, Saint Charbel, we know, belongs. And we say that he healed a lot of people while he was in hermitage, especially from different diseases, physical diseases, spiritual diseases as well. Given the opportunity, people to repent, and died on 1898. But he died physically, actually, in 1898, because after his death, you know, following his death, people started to report seeing lights around his tomb, actually, for 45 days.
Yeah. Is that credible?
It's
incredible. Since his death, it's reported that there were 26,000 miracles since his death in 1898.
You know, it's not only a miracle for Christians, actually. It is for various religions, including, you know, Christians, Muslim, Buddhist, Hindus, Jews, atheists, just, you know, naming a few.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
his incorruptible body, they found his body incorruptible. It's not only, you know, one of the signs that we have for Saint Charbel, because in Saint Charbel's case, the miracle was accompanied by supernatural light that I mentioned for 45 days, and a miraculous blood-like liquid. You know, they measured it was about 35 gallons flowed from his corpse.
Wow.
Had healing qualities.
Wow. That's incredible.
They move it to different, to different coffin. They change it different times, his coffin. That was, you know, incredible, you know, marvelous sign for the Lebanese. And from that time, pilgrimage of people, thousands and thousands of people from Lebanon, from the countries around Lebanon, came and worshiped and asked his intercession.
So, Father, is he still in a monastery laid to rest in a tomb in a monastery in Lebanon?
Yes, he's still in the, we call the monastery where his body is entombed, it is St. Maron's Monastery.
Okay.
And until today, this monastery receives hundreds of thousands of letters every year from people who want to share stories of miracles, cures, and wonders performed by the saint, patron of Lebanon.
Has it become like a pilgrimage site? Do people go visit that monastery?
Actually, they can. Yeah, they can Google it. Let us spell his name because sometimes you confuse about his name.
Okay.
His
yeah.
name Charbel. It's S H A R B E L. Charbel.
Yeah. From what I understand, Charbel
yeah.
is an Aramaic Syriac name meaning God the King. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And you know his name was Joseph, or in Arabic Yusuf, his original name. And when he entered the monastery, the superior would give him another name. It means, because for, you know, the religious life, even when we enter the monastery, we keep, you know, out everything. We don't bring with us anything to the monastery. Even our names, we give up our names too. So the superior, when he start, you know, the superior will give him a name, telling him, now you're starting your religious life by giving up everything and you're going to focus and be in union with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So even his original name was Yusuf or Joseph, you know, in English. And talking about, you know, his wonderful, his amazing miracles, or even that still until today, we had... the miracle happened to the famous lady. Until today, she is still witnessing about her miracle. A lady whose name is Nohad Shemi, mother of 12. She was healed from a partial paralysis, you know, affecting her leg, arm, and mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So she confessed that in 1993, she saw in her dream two Maronite monks starting, you know, standing next to her bed where she was sleeping. You know, she had great devotion to Saint Charbel. She prayed a lot to Saint Charbel that he helped her anyway. So at that day, night, 1993, January 9th, so she had this dream about two monks standing by her bed.
Mm-hmm.
One of them put his hands on her neck and operated her.
Wow.
Can you imagine? Operated her like a surgery, normal surgery in
wow.
any hospital. Relieving her from her pain, while the other, you know, monk put a pillow under, you know, her, you know, behind her back, under her head, you know.
Yeah.
When she woke up, Nohad discovered two wounds in her neck, you know, and she was completely healed.
Wow.
Following that night, she received a dream and she saw Saint Charbel saying to her, I want to quote what she said because it's so important.
Okay.
He said to her, I cut you by the power of God so they, it means the people, could see you. Because some people have strayed away from praying, from attending church, from respecting the saints, respecting the Lord, and you cannot do anything to people. But whoever needs anything from me, I, Father Charbel, I am always present in the hermitage. I ask you to visit the hermitage on the 22nd of each month and attend the divine liturgy as long as you live.
Wow.
Vanessa, you cannot imagine, from 1993, every 22nd of each month, you have thousands and thousands of people, they, you know, go in a pilgrimage to worship the Lord, asking Saint Charbel intercession. They celebrate in Mass, they have like a procession from the hermitage to the monastery where his body is entombed.
Wow.
Until today, we still have that, you know, tradition.
Well, that's beautiful. So what is he, the patron saint, known for today, Father? I mean, if we ask for intercessory prayer to Saint Charbel, what would we be asking him for? You know, what would be
for
ailing
anything,
us?
Actually. Okay. Anything. It is like nothing. We say nothing is possible. Impossible for God.
Yes.
Yes, nothing is impossible for God through Saint Charbel intercession. And when people ask for something, God answers through his intercession. You know, most of the physical healings fall within the domain of incurable and malignant diseases. And the manner in which, you know, the healing took place differs from one case to another.
Mm-hmm.
There are those, you know, who were healed through prayer, other those blessed by oil, the blessed oil that we see from this convent, from this monastery or incense, and by, you know, wearing a blessed belt, for example, we get it from the monastery, or by participating in divine liturgy at his tomb, you know, next to his tomb, or at the hermitage, or through praying the novena of Saint Charbel. You can find it online too. So you have different things to do to receive, you know, whatever prayers or healing or any intention you have in your heart.
Mm. I'm going to put the novena to Saint Sir Charbel on my communications evangelist coach, Vanessa Denha-Garmo, public Facebook page, so I could share it with all of you. Thank you so much. You know, this is such a wonderful saint. I've slowly gotten to know him over the years and started asking for intercessory prayer. Although, Father Julio, I've heard about him my whole life because, like I said in the intro of the show, my neighbors, the Giacchino's, his mom, the husband's mom was a Charbel from Lebanon.
Yeah.
I mean, was a Maklouf from Lebanon. And she was related, I think she was his great-great-niece. I don't know the relation, I got to ask. But they're related down there. And I always heard about St. Charbel through the family, and they had all this information about him. And I didn't realize till I got older why. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, you're related to St. Charbel.
You know, we'll come on board, even if I'm priest. I didn't have that kind, you know, of relation with him. Actually, he is one of my models, as I am a religious too. So looking to him, I feel that I can compare myself to him as well, you know?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if people knows about, for example, the life of the hermit. I don't know if people knows how the hermit lived. For example, you know, Saint Charbel, as other hermits, they can eat only one meal a day.
Oh.
You know, which is sent by the monastery. They never eat meat or drink anything like wine or stuff like that. They must not sleep more than 5 hours. They must observe strict silence. In case of necessity, they must, you know, speak briefly and in subdued tones.
Mm.
And they cannot leave the hermitage without the permission and consent of their superior. This is kind of, you know, really tough life. He spent 23 years living that kind of life.
Wow.
And we said, as he was working in the field, in the vineyard, the monastery, the hermitage, actually, had next to it a big, you know, vineyard, you know, garden.
Mm-hmm.
He never tasted one of the, you know, of the grape.
Wow. That's
never
incredible.
One.
That's incredible.
Because he thought, everything I want to do, everything I want to accomplish, it would never let me be happy except being with the Lord. I don't want anything from this world. I want him. I want to be totally to God.
Wow.
That's Saint Charbel.
Wow.
Crazy, inebriated with God.
Wow. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Father Clear, I want to switch gears a little bit, and maybe we need to ask Saint Charbel for intercessory prayer for what's going on in the Middle East between Lebanon and Israel right now. Can you share with our listeners what is happening right now?
Well, you know, sadly, talking to Lebanon after, you know, the large, you know, explosion happened to Beirut last year. It, you know, it is almost a year after that explosion. You know, Lebanon is suffering from a devastating economy and financial crisis. And with the COVID, actually, yes. And, and with this explosion, people, you know, let me say it this way, hopeless. Our population is afraid and hopeless today. Hopeless and is getting more desperate by hour. Families are turning to desperate measures in order to support themselves. And the immigration of Catholics and Christians from Lebanon and neighboring countries, like now in Iraq, the last bomb, and, you know, in Israel, you know, those countries in the Middle East are continuing, you know, inhabited, actually.
Yeah.
So, talking about the Lebanon, life has never been as hard as it is today. I will give you some maybe real facts. Mm-hmm. In 2019, the unemployment rate was 11%. Today, it's more than 60%. The inflation rate is more than 100%. For example, 50% of families of the population is living below the poverty. What I mean below the poverty line, you know, the minimum income, which was, you know, as low as $260 just a year ago, has fallen today under $30.
Wow.
77 of the families do not have enough food or enough money to buy, do not have enough food and enough money to buy food. The Lebanese pound is losing 95%.
Wait, so what's contributing all of this, Father? What is contributing to this, the state of the economy in Lebanon and the decline? I mean, what is...
You know, starting from the explosion.
Okay.
The, you know, since that day, the country has been without government.
Wow.
Almost a year, we don't have a government. The previous government resigned, you know, after this disaster, and the political leader has been unable to reach an agreement, you know, to form a government.
Mm.
Everybody seeking their self-interest, unfortunately.
Mm.
You know, we have shortage of fuel, shortage of power, shortage of medicine. And families, 15% of families stop their children's education, you know, and... unbelievable what's going on. Talking to my brother, to my family, to my friends there, they said, we don't know what will happen until when we're going to stay in that way. That's why our order, my order here in Michigan, still, you know, raising money. If someone would love to help us, would love to help the brethren Lebanese there, will be great. Because the future of, the, you know, Christianity in this part of the world, in the Middle East, especially in Lebanon, depends on their brethren here in the West.
Yeah, oh yeah, we know that personally, Chaldeans from Iraq. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, we should remember that the East was the birthplace of the faith of Christianity.
Yeah.
Has become today an increasingly bleak and miserable because of the immigration, persecution, corruption, and violence.
Yeah.
And Pope Francis, you know, recently, in the first, you know, of this month, I mean, in the first of July, he make a good decision to have the Christian leaders with him to pray for the peace and stability of Lebanon.
Mm-hmm.
He said Lebanon is the linchpin and cornerstone of Christianity in the Middle East and needs our solidarity and prayers more urgently than ever.
Mm-hmm. How would people help Father Joseph Khalil, who want to help those brothers and sisters in Christ in Lebanon? What do they do?
Okay, actually, as a as a Maronite order, as an order, we are like other organizations trying to give the, what is necessity for the people. They can, you know, write a check to BVM, it's the Blessed Virgin Mary, BVM Fund Lebanon.
Okay.
So simple, so easy. And they can send it to the address, which is 4405 Earhart Road, Ann Arbor, Michigan, zip code 48105. So I will repeat it. The check would be right, you know, written to BVM Fund Lebanon and send it to 4405 Earhart Road, Ann Arbor, Michigan, 48105. Their you know, donation are tax deductible because it is non-profit organization. And what the order is doing right now is not just helping them to live there, but helping many not to die, by providing them the basic necessities.
Mm. And Father Joseph Khalil, who we're talking to, Maronite Order of the Blessed Virgin Mary, if you want to donate to help our brothers and sisters in Lebanon, you could do that by writing a check to BVM and sending a check to the church right here in Ann Arbor. You're also the current chaplain for Domino's Farms Chapel, correct,
yes.
Father? Here, you know, before we let you go here in Epiphany, can you share a couple prayers with us, one in maybe in English and one in Arabic, or before we let go here in Epiphany?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I would love to do, especially because today is the feast day, St. Charbel,
yes,
asking his intercession. So let us pray. O Lord, infinitely holy and glorified in your saints, you inspired St. Charbel, the saintly monk, to lead the perfect life of a hermit. We thank you for having granted him the blessing and the strength to detach himself from the world, so that this heroism of the monastic virtues of poverty, obedience, and chastity might triumph in his hermitage. God, I ask you tonight, today, especially today, for those who are listening now and for the Middle East, for those who are affected by the coronavirus, for all who are sick, for all those who need, support, any healing, for those who ask us to pray, especially those who work at the Ave Maria Radio, bless them all. Keep them safe. Protect them. Be by them daily and night through the intercession. We trust you, Lord. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. And then let's do something in Arabic, Father.
Something in Arabic. Rabb, انت يلي باركتنا بقديسنا قديس العالم شربل. بارك واحفظ كل انسان عم يسمع. بارك لبنان, بارك العراق, بارك المنطقة الشرقية اللي محتاجة لدعمتك. يلي خليت شربل من هالصومعة الصغيرة يوصل لكل العالم. بهالنور يلي سطع من قبره يرجع هالنور يسطع بالشرق لحتى نرجع نتوحد ونرجع نوقف على رجلينا كمسيحيين. لك المجد للأبد. آمين.
Amen. Father Joseph Khalil, always a pleasure talking with you. We'll have you on again here on Epiphany. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Vanessa. Thank you. And God bless you. Bless all the listeners and have a wonderful feast day.
You too. God bless. Thank you. We'll ask intercessory prayer for you and all of our brothers and sisters in Lebanon. Thank you.
What? I want to end it in this way, please. May each and everyone who's listening today, and especially you, enjoy the gift of life the Lord has given us in this blessed, great country. God bless.
God bless. Thank you. Amen to that. Stay with us, everyone. We're going to continue our conversation after the break. Archbishop Vigneron reflecting on 25 years as bishop. He's saying, I'm always learning. He sat down with a Detroit Catholic. That article is on my communications evangelist coach, Vanessa Denhagarmo, Facebook page. Talking with us about that is Father Stephen Pullis, who was appointed a full-time faculty and external formation position at Sacred Heart Major Seminary effective July 1st of this year. Father Pullis served as the director for evangelization and missionary discipleship within the Archdiocese Curia. He penned his own article about Archbishop Vigneron in Unleash the Gospel. Also, I'm a communications evangelist coach, Vanessa Denhagarmo, Facebook page. Thank you, Father Pullis, for joining us here in Epiphany.
Yeah, my pleasure, Vanessa. Thanks for having me.
So tell us about the piece you penned in Unleash the Gospel. What inspired you to write this article about Archbishop Alan Vigneron?
Well, I think we have maybe the finest bishop in the United States. We have a very humble, holy, and kind archbishop, and I've gotten to know him from a particular perspective in my 10 years of priesthood, serving very closely with him for a number of those years. And I just thought, not everyone in the archdiocese gets to know him so directly or from the perspective that I had. And I just wanted to share my thoughts and my reflections as he celebrated 25 years as a bishop so that other people could know what a blessing we have in Archbishop Vigneron.
So tell us, Father Stephen Pullis, what can you share about Archbishop Vigneron that maybe we may not know because we don't get to work with him and know him as well as you have known him?
Yeah, I really think, you know, he is a man who loves the Lord, and I had the pleasure of living with him for a number of years when I served as his secretary, and I got to see a man who really prayed a lot, a man who, you know, was very devoted to prayer and who took the difficult decisions that he has to make in leadership, that all leaders have to make, and brought those to the Lord and really asked the Lord's guidance and wisdom. I think, you know, any time someone is in a position of leadership, they have to make decisions that are not going to make everyone happy. They have to make decisions for the good of the organization that often can create challenges for people, that that people have to kind of figure out how we can care for the good of a whole archdiocese, more than a million Catholics all around, you know, places that are rural and urban and the big suburbs we have here. And I felt really blessed to know that our Chief Shepherd was really praying and begging the Lord for his wisdom, his insight. And so I think that's the most important aspect about the Archbishop that I wish people were able to know more and appreciate more, is we have a Chief Shepherd who really prays and sees his responsibility connected to, you know, leading the flock the Lord has given to his care, but ultimately it's God's flock, and the Archbishop is a steward caring for us.
You know, Father Pullis, you make such a good point. You know, we don't often know what a leader like an Archbishop does on a regular basis, the challenges, the obstacles they face. We have to pray for our leaders within the church. I've had the pleasure and honor to work closely with our own bishop here in the Chaldean Diocese, Bishop Francis, so I got to see things close up because I helped with communications and with the bishop. But unless you go through that and see that, I pray for them all the time, because there's so many things that they do that we as parishioners have no idea.
Yeah, and you know, one of the challenges of leadership is you're not going to make everyone happy. That there's going to be people, no matter what you decide or what you do, who think you should do something differently, and oftentimes people air that, sometimes charitably and, you know, in a Christian way, and other times people air their differences out of frustration or anger in a way that I'm sure later they would say, you know, I wish I could have done that with a cooler head or with more Christian charity. So I do know that there are voices out there that are critical, and at times it's good. It's good to hear different points of view or how decisions affect different people. But I think it's important to know that the leadership, especially in our church, that Christ has given through his bishops is not just kind of one opinion among many, but it's for the ordering of our local church, and so that we can grow in holiness and to have confidence that even if it's not the decision you would have made or you like, that it's made in prayer. It's made by a man who is really seeking to know the Lord's will, seeking to help us grow in holiness and to kind of unleash the power of the gospel within our local church. And I that gives me tremendous confidence in the Archbishop's leadership. And I hope it gives both priests and lay people, people in Catholic media and all different places, confidence in the direction we're going in the Archdiocese of Detroit, growing closer to the Lord and helping him to be known and loved by so many people in Southeast Michigan.
You know, Father Pullis, I love that you titled it and talked about it here with me, that, you know, keeping his eyes fixed on Jesus for 25 years and thanking him for teaching us to love in more Christ-like manner. You know, with Unleash the Gospel, the family of parishes, he's done quite a bit in the years he's been our Archbishop in the Archdiocese of Detroit. You know, what do you think has been some of his greatest successes? Is it Unleash the Gospel? Is it the family of parishes? What can you share with us that you look back at his tenure with us that has been some of his success stories?
Well, I think Unleash the Gospel is the hallmark of his time as our Archbishop. I mean, that is the kind of missionary thrust for our local church, to say that you know, the challenges or the opportunities we had of a generation ago are different than what we have now. In discerning together through Synod 16 about the challenges we have now and coming up with opportunities and a conviction on where to go, that, you know, the future of the Catholic Church has to be missionary. It's very clear that our society is trending away from religious affiliation in every stripe, and as Catholics, we're not immune to that. So our call has to be missionary, and in many ways, we're not set up to be a missionary church. Our structures are, you know, are set up to care for, you know, wave after wave, generation after generation of Catholics who are born and kind of enter into this this pattern of development of the church. And the opportunities, the challenges we have for the next generation are going to be different. They're going to be more difficult. And I think that's what Unleash the Gospel called us to do, to say, okay, now is a time for us to have, as Pope Paul VI, as John Paul II, Benedict, and now Francis have said, all of our efforts, all of our thrusts have to be about how do we go out and share the gospel with other people. We know that our church isn't meant to just be a club that you're born into. It's not meant to be an association of people who happen to think the same way. It is the life-saving mission of Jesus Christ to bring souls into relationship with him for happiness on some level here on this earth and ultimate happiness in heaven. And I think Unleash the Gospel is going to bear fruit for decades, not just for our church, but for other local churches, to see how do we do that in the context of 21st century America. And so I think the Archbishop should be and is extremely proud of the work of the church in our area through Synod 16 and Unleash the Gospel. And I think that's going to be his crowning achievement when we look back on his time as our Archbishop.
You know, Father Paulus, you talked about other churches adopting Unleash the Gospel, and that's a credit to Archbishop Vigneron, and they have. I mean, from my understanding, other dioceses have called our Archdiocese of Detroit asking about Unleash the Gospel so they can implement it in their own churches. Is that true?
Yeah, so two things I would say, Vanessa. First, Unleash the Gospel is a response to our particular circumstances here in Detroit. I think it's trying to take the universal call to be missionary and say, how do we do that here in Detroit with you know, I use the phrase the challenges and opportunities, but I really think about that. Like, what are the difficulties we have in Detroit? And then what are the unique, special opportunities we have in Detroit? I think our Chaldean brothers and sisters fall in that latter category, are a blessing to us. But I've talked with church leaders from dioceses, probably 15 to 20 different dioceses around the country. I was on the phone with a catechetical leader in Ireland a few weeks ago who had heard about Unleash the Gospel and was very excited, wanted to see how that could maybe be applied to what they're doing in the church in Ireland, and from other leaders around the country and around the world who say, this is really exciting what you're doing in Detroit. We want to see what it would look like for us to do something similar in our local church.
Mm-hmm. It's such a blessing, too, Father Stephen Paulus, that Archbishop Vigneron does have a wonderful relationship with the different rites within the church, such as Bishop Francis and the Chaldean Diocese. It's a blessing to all of us when the two bishops get together and they work together, even though they're two separate dioceses. They're both in Metro Detroit. And for people who don't know, there's a lot of collaboration in helping each other out. In different situations, and I think that's such a blessing to all of us.
Oh, I agree tremendously. You know, I when I entered Sacred Heart Major Seminary as a seminarian, I got to meet firsthand the brothers, brother priests, who would be brother priests, seminarians, who were Chaldean, who study at Sacred Heart. Even now, I'm close with many of them, and during the pandemic especially, we were on the phone together, texting, like, hey, what are you doing about this situation? How do you handle this? Any thoughts on this area? Talking about the differences we have culturally and, and, you know, demographically, but also how we can support each other. And I think that's a blessing to me as a priest, a Roman Catholic priest, and a blessing to our Chaldean Catholic priests to have that relationship. So, and I think Archbishop Ignon and Bishop Calabat certainly set the tone with their close friendship.
Yeah, definitely. That leadership style they both have in uniting the community. Father Stephen Paulson, when you talk about missionary disciples, when people listen here on Epiphany and they think, well, what's my role in that? You know, how do I become a missionary disciple? How do I unleash the gospel? Those people who may not understand how to do that, what would you say to them?
Yeah. One of the key characteristics of Unleash the Gospel was this concept of there are no bystanders. There are no bench warmers in the work we have. So no one's kind of sitting off to the side waiting to see someone better, someone more equipped, or, you know, someone more articulate to do it. If we're going to be a church on mission, each of us has to play a role. Priests have a particular role of leadership in the parish community to do that, of proclaiming the word of God in a powerful way with the authority of the church. But all the lay faithful are called to do this through their lives and through the people they have access to. So first and foremost, I would say it involves a prayer to God, to the Holy Spirit, and say, come Holy Spirit, how can I be a missionary disciple? And then to have my eyes open to see the areas in my life. Maybe it's making prayer a greater routine in my family. Maybe it's inviting someone who doesn't know the Lord, who has been away from church since the pandemic, to come to church with us. Maybe it's having someone over our house for dinner and praying together. Maybe it's starting a small group in your neighborhood or among the parents in your grade school class, your kids' grade school class. There are as many ways to be a missionary disciple as there are Catholics in the Archdiocese of Detroit. And so I think first and foremost, it starts with, come Holy Spirit, show me how you want me to be part of this movement to unleash the gospel.
I love that. We're talking with Father Stephen Paulus today, Archbishop Ignoran, celebrating 25 years as a bishop, saying he's always learning. Father Stephen Paulus penned an article, Keeping His Eyes Fixed on Jesus for 25 Years. It's published in Unleash the Gospel. I posted it also on my Communications Evangelist Coach Facebook page. You can get it there, along with the Q&A in Detroit Catholic with Archbishop Ignoran. Father Stephen Paulus, when Archbishop Ignoran was ordained a bishop 25 years ago by Cardinal Maida at the time, do you think he had any inkling that he'd ever come back and be the bishop of our diocese?
I have no idea. I doubt it. So 25 years ago, it's 1996. I was in grade school at the time, so it certainly wasn't on my radar, and I doubt it was on Archbishop Ignoran's radar.
Well, we're blessed to have you both. You know, that's awesome. We're blessed to have you both here, Father Stephen Paulus. If somebody could just, I love when you say call out to the Holy Spirit. If we, you know, how important is it that we also pray for our church leaders, Archbishop Ignoran, yourself, and all the priests on the church? How important is that to you as religious leaders?
Well, I know for myself it's important in two ways. First, I know that I'm being upheld by prayers of so many faithful people. Eucharistic adoration was a big part of my discernment and my growth in prayer and just being open to God's word. And so I know lots of people who I met through Eucharistic adoration in different chapels who have told me they continue to pray for me. And I feel that. I feel that for the courage I need at times, for the patience I need at times, for the gift of perseverance that each of us needs in our faith life. So I know I'm being upheld by it, but also I know when I hear people tell me that they pray for me, that inspires me to be a better priest. That tells me that, like, there are people counting on me to help them grow in holiness, to, you know, at different times we're called to be an inspiration and encouragement for each other. And I find when I hear people from the faithful tell me that they're praying for me, that's an encouragement I need to say, I want to grow in holiness and not just think about that, but put it into place in my life. Take the time and do the things God needs me to do, whether that's prayer, whether that's writing or work, whether that's missionary activity, to grow in holiness. And I know that helps me to have the courage, conviction, and the will in the grace of the Holy Spirit to do what God's calling me to do. So I think it is absolutely essential.
That's wonderful. One last quick question, Father Stephen Paulus. How is your new role, position at Sacred Heart Major Seminary going?
It's going great. Just, less than a month into it and still learning the ropes. One of the wonderful things about being a priest, when we get new assignments, oftentimes it's an opportunity to learn and to grow. As the Archbishop said, always learning, always growing. So I feel like right now I'm learning a ton and very excited for the seminarians to come back in the fall so that we can get moving on all the work that we're preparing for now.
And I look forward to working with you. As I said before, Father Stephen Paulus, I'll be serving on the board at Sacred Heart Major Seminary.
Oh, wonderful. Awesome.
Yeah,
that's
very
great.
Very excited to work with you. Well, thank you so much for joining us here in Epiphany, Father Stephen Paulus.
Thank you, Vanessa. God bless you, and God bless your listeners.
Thank you. God bless you and all the work that you do. Again, I have two articles posted on my Communications Evangelist Coach Facebook page. That's my public page. One from the Detroit Catholic. It's a question and answer conversation with Archbishop Vigneron about his 25 years as bishop. And then an article penned by Father Stephen Paulus in Unleash the Gospel, Keeping His Eyes Fixed on Jesus for 25 Years. I recommend you read both of those articles and share them with your friends and family. Stay with us, everyone. We're going to continue our conversation here on Epiphany after the break.
Hi, I'm Steve Clark, and I'm in my 25th year of working for Ave Maria Radio. You know, technology in radio has changed so much over that time. Right after Y2K, we got a new automation system, and one of the best features was a trick that allowed for programs or breaks to be stretched or shrunk to a specific time we needed. Before, if we were just a second off, we had to redo it. Now, the voice changes unnoticeably. Safety protocols were built into place to prevent huge changes, like taking a minute and shrinking it down to 10 seconds. Well, there was a flaw in that safety feature that wasn't accounted for, and by mistake, disaster struck on the air. I'm kind of reluctant to bring this up because I really don't want Al Cresta to remember or even be reminded. But there was a 15-minute segment that played over the weekend where Al sounded authentically and completely inebriated. Okay, drunk. And worse, it wasn't a conversation, it was a monologue. It was just Al going on and on, droning in such slow, elongated words.
Looking back when I heard it, I discovered that it was possible to both laugh hysterically and at the same time dying inside thinking my radio career was over.
I just got you back.
For many great stories, join Al and I at the Family Fun Fest on the last weekend in August. Go to AveMariaRadio.net.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Ray. My latest book, Jesus, the Master Psychologist, Listen to Him, talks about how Jesus was 2,000 years ahead of modern enlightened psychology. If he's God, he knows the absolute best way to live, whether psychology agrees or whether it doesn't. Go to AveMariaRadio.net to get your copy. Jesus will tell you the best way to live.
So not long ago, my husband and I actually took my daughter to the ER. She's fine, but I had to take her to the ER. She was having some issues, and I ended up taking her where I was near, which was DMC Hospital here on Valley Hospital. And we were there for a while. My husband came and joined us. And the doctor at the ER, very nice guy. I wish I can remember his name because I wanted to give a shout out to him. He was awesome, but I can't remember his name. But he kept saying to me, I know you, I know you. And I said, I don't think I ever met you. And he goes, no, I think we met before and we were going back and forth. And I said, I don't think I ever met you. And I wasn't really trying to figure out how I met this doctor. I was really concerned with my daughter. And then he comes back a little later and he said, we're talking again about my daughter. And he goes, oh my gosh, it's your voice. I know your voice. And I looked at him and he goes, do you host that show Epiphany on Ave Maria Radio? And I'm like, yeah, that is me. And we started talking, and I said, oh, I'm glad you listened. Thank you so much. And he says, oh, my wife and I have been listening for years. He said, we started listening because we were at a stoplight,
and we saw a bumper sticker with Ave Maria Radio, Catholic Radio, and we haven't stopped listening since. And that is such a testament to how we evangelize the faith. A bumper sticker evangelized the faith. I have a bumper sticker on my car. And just the other day, I was at this wonderful luncheon at this great restaurant in Novi. And we're going to have him on as a guest at some point. I was telling Melissa about him. He emigrated to the United States from Albania, escaping from communism. And he has an amazing story that he's going to share with us here on Ave Maria Radio when we have him on. But his name is Robert. And he is the owner of a restaurant that we had lunch at the other day to talk about the new station, 105.5 Catholic Radio. And we're in the Farmington Hills area. We have a wonderful map of it. And this restaurant, Adriana's Restaurant, Novi, delicious food, by the way. Wonderful, delicious Greek food. I recommend you go there. Wonderful family. And so we had this wonderful luncheon with religious leaders, including my own bishop, Bishop Francis from the Chaldean Diocese, and talking about this new radio station and all, you know, the area that we're covering in Farmington Hills, Livonia, Redford, you know, Novi, all this West Bloomfield area, 105.5. But of course, we have our app, Ave Maria Radio. You can hear the radio station around the world. You can go to the, you know, AveMariaRadio.net and hear it. We have all this different platforms and technologies to hear the radio station anywhere in the world, which is wonderful. But if you're in your car, you could hear the radio station 105.5, all the programming here on Ave Maria Radio in this Oakland County area of Novi, Livonia, Redford, Farmington Hills, West Bloomfield. It's wonderful. And so we are talking about this new listening area for Ave Maria Radio at this luncheon. And we're also talking about the Fun Fest. And this is the way we evangelize the faith. You know, Al Cresta always talks about, you know, build the church and bless the nation. And that's what we do here at Ave Maria Radio. And we're celebrating 25 years. And I really hope you can join us for our Family Fun Fest that's happening on August 27th, 28th, and 29th. We have a dinner. And then we have an all-day Fun Fest going on Saturday, 28th. And the 29th is going to be more of a conference of speakers. And you can go to AveMariaRadio.net. And you can find out more information about the Fun Fest. You go to our community section, hit celebrating 25 years, and there's all this information about the Fun Fest going on. You can, you know, come join us. You can buy a table at the dinner. You can sponsor the event. There's sponsorship opportunities for you if you want to buy an ad in our booklet, which I just told my husband he's going to do for Running Right Heating and Cooling. So he's going to buy an ad. You know, you could sponsor something at the event if you want. You could sponsor like a table. There's dinner sponsors, dessert sponsors, spirit sponsor, table sponsor. You could buy a ticket for $125. But this is a way to help keep us able to evangelize the faith and bring others to Christ, whether it be through a bumper sticker that leads people to Catholic Radio, now to our app, to 105.5. This is how we bring others to Christ. And we know what's going on in the world, that we need Christ. We need to build a church to bless the nation. With all the stress and turmoil going on in this country and around the world, what's going on in the Middle East, you just heard Father Joseph Khalil talk about what's going on in Lebanon, you know, what's happening there. People are starving. The economy is tanking. They don't even have a formal government anymore. What is happening is tragic. And we, you know, through God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. Through intercessory prayer of St. Charbel, please pray for us. With God, all things are possible. And we need Catholic Radio. We need these interviews. I learn just as much as you learn when I interview our guests here. You know, it's my formation too, you know. We don't live long enough to know everything we need to know. We need the information from these experts, from these priests, from these guests that we have on, and all the programs here on Ave Maria Radio, whether it be live call-in with Dr. Ray Guarendi, the Pop Checks, whether it be commentary from Father Ricardo, Father John Ricardo, or Sister Ann Shields, whether it be interview styles on Teresa Tamio's show, new segments on Teresa Tamio's show in the news, or interviews with El Cresta, or here in Epiphany. All this is to bring everyone who listens closer to Christ, to build that relationship, to build the church, and bless the nation. So we really hope that you come and join us for this three-day celebration in August, 27th, 28th, 29th, for our Family Fun Fest, food, fun, music, and games for that Saturday, the 28th. There's an anniversary banquet on the 27th, that Friday night, and there's a big tent revival of a great line of speakers on Sunday, the 29th. So you can go to AveMariaRadio.net. Go to our community section, go to the 25-year anniversary section, and read more about what's going on, and really pray about what the Holy Spirit is putting on your heart in terms of how you can help us sponsor this program, and just join us, participate. We'd love to see you there. Stay with us, everyone. We're going to continue our conversation here in Epiphany right after the break. Well, heading into the fall, I'll be heading into my third year. It is year C of the Catholic Biblical School of Michigan. And my instructor in year B is joining us now. She is the director instructor at Catholic Biblical School of Michigan, Colleen Vermeulen. Colleen, how are you?
Great. It's so good to hear you, Vanessa.
It's so wonderful to talk with you. I love having you on. And you are the instructor of year B, which I just finished. I'm heading into year C, and I'm really looking forward to that. And I want to talk to our listeners today to kind of give them an overview with you about the Catholic Biblical School of Michigan, the four-year program. What does it entail? What do we study? So I thought, who better to bring on than Colleen? So, Colleen, can you give us an overview of what does the, I know you are in the instructor of year B, but give us an overview of the 4 years itself.
Yeah, so we offer four classes, each from September to May. And together those four classes, like you were saying, we take you through the entire Bible. And our mission is to bring the Bible to life for lay people in the pews. And we do that by really emphasizing, you know, that coherent story of God's love and God's truth that are in every single book of the Bible. So the first year, we start off with God's story of creation and Israel. So those historical books of the Old Testament, you know, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, you know, and Leviticus and Deuteronomy are where a lot of times people fall off if they start trying to read the scriptures by themselves, because it gets pretty complicated there.
Mm-hmm.
So we go through the story of Israel from creation right up to the time of Jesus. So those last few centuries where God's people, Israel, was kind of trying to figure out what to do politically. Should they rebel? Should they not? So that's where year A takes you. And, you know, kind of like spoiler alert, the message of that Old Testament history is that, you know, as people, we keep having the same failures. You know, everything that the ancient Israelites experienced, conflict in their family, deceit, rumor, all these things, these afflict us today.
Mm-hmm.
But God is so faithful to them. No matter what they do, God has a plan, and God is not abandoning them. He loves them. And that's where year A ends. And then year B, we jump into the Gospels, where we find that answer, that God's answer is that he is going to send his beloved Son in the flesh to be our Savior, to live it and to model the divine life for us. So we read three of the Gospels, Matthew, Luke, Mark. And in doing that, you know, a lot of us were used to hearing the Gospels in bits and pieces at Mass, and they kind of all blend together. But these inspired evangelists, these saints, St. Mark, St. Matthew, St. Luke, they have a message of good news for us. and a way of proclaiming who Jesus is as the Christ, the Savior. So that's what we listen for in year B. And then we continue into Acts of the Apostles and Paul's letters, which just give us such a, like, a delightful picture of what it was like to be an early follower of Jesus. And there's so much we can learn from them, because things are kind of similar today. You know, they lived in a secular empire, the Greco-Roman Empire and culture. It wasn't a Christian culture. And they had to figure out how to share the faith. And we know that Christianity grew explosively in the first and second centuries. So their witness is incredibly relevant for us.
Mm.
Then that third year, year C, we go back to the prophets of the Old Testament. And the prophets, you know, those books, Isaiah, Ezekiel, they're a little bit mysterious because they are written with a lot of symbols, you know, colors, imagery, different ways of writing than we usually read today. And so in those prophets, we hear that love of God, that God is calling his people whenever they're in exile, whenever they've fallen, to worship rightly, to live justly, to be in right relationship with him as their father and with their neighbors. So again, it's so relevant for today, even as we don't, as Catholics and even our Protestant brothers and sisters, don't study the prophets very often. And then the fourth class is called walking daily with God. And it's that idea that, you know, rooted in the Old Testament, that true wisdom is walking daily with God, meaning being on the path, being in relationship with the Lord. And so we look at the Psalms, Proverbs, the wisdom literature of the Old Testament, and then conclude with the wisdom literature of the New Testament, you know, the beautiful and glorious Gospel of John, which gives us a very rich, deep look at who Jesus is and God's plan. And then epistles like the letter of James, which speaks, you know, to those questions of how do we live. And then concluding, of course, with the book of Revelation. We spend about a month on the book of Revelation, mm-hmm. so you can actually understand it. And as Catholics, we don't need to be afraid of it.
Yeah, and it's such a deep dive into Scripture. And you mentioned something so important. We're not only rereading Scripture, but we're going into a deep dive, and we're getting everything explained to us and how it relates to what's going on in the world today in our own lives. There's a lot of self-reflection in the classes, which I really love.
Yeah, and that's the whole idea, right? That, you know, the church has this rich tradition, centuries, millennia, of studying the Scriptures prayerfully, so that it's not just head knowledge, but it's supposed to transform our hearts. The living word, that when we come in contact with God in the sacred words, that encounter is as real as the encounter that we have in the Eucharist. And when we think about that God makes himself a little baby so that he can come into our world, that the Lord is just chasing after us to rescue us. And one of the ways he does that is the Bible, because we're humans. We like to talk, right? We're on the radio. We like to listen. We like to hear words and read them. And so God knows, you know, that's a way to reach us.
Mm-hmm. And so tell us about the classes. Like, mine are online, but you also have locations throughout Michigan where the classes are held.
Yeah. So we have been in about 40 different parishes across Michigan. So we are missionary. We just move from parish to parish, and we stay there for 4 years. And give all of these classes that'll take you through the Bible. Some people do all four classes, and other people, you know, might just do one or two as life allows. So this fall, in September, we're starting new class locations in Beverly Hills at Our Lady Queen of Martyrs Parish, and that's on Tuesday nights, in Dearborn Heights at St. Sabina Parish, at Holy Family Parish in Grand Blanc, so that's the Diocese of Lansing, and at Shrine of the Little Flower Parish in Royal Oak, and that's a daytime class. So through those classes and that fully online virtual class that you participate in from anywhere, that's how we make ourselves accessible, to just bring the gospel so that Christ can speak to people.
And Colleen, it's for anybody at any level of their faith journey. I mean, it's for anybody at any part, at any time in their faith journey, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's such a huge diversity, just like diversity of places in faith journeys. So there are people who have never read the Bible before outside of hearing it at Mass. Mm-hmm. And that is perfect. You know, we don't presume any background knowledge. All of our teachers, including myself, we all have master's degrees or above. So we have that seminary level formation. But our mission is to make the scriptures accessible to everyone. So no background is needed. But, you know, the beauty of the sacred word is that it's inexhaustible. So we also have people who are sometimes deacons. We have people who've been leading Bible studies for decades and still come and have this real renewal of the mind, you know, this transformation into seeing the bigger picture of God's story and being more equipped for their ministries. Mm-hmm. So it's a lay apostolate that is truly for everyone.
And like you said, Colleen, all the instructors have at minimum a master's in theology, correct?
Yep, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And so in terms of reading scripture, you know, I used to think that once I read it, oh, I would get it. You know, I just need to read the Bible cover to cover and I'm going to understand it. No, I could read the same chapter 10 times at different moments of my life and get something new out of it and learn something new and have another epiphany moment. And so scripture is not to be consumed in a one read. You really kind of meditate on it. And that's what I love about the deep dive of the Catholic Biblical School of Michigan, because you really are meditating on scripture and you're really thinking about how does this relate to what's going on in my life today?
Yeah, you know, the Bible itself talks about scripture as the living word of God. You know, that means it's alive. It means it's meant to do something. It's not just, you know, dead letters on a page. And the more we're open to that, the more God absolutely does work. And, you know, that's what we hear from participants, that idea of epiphany, a manifestation, an encounter with God that truly transforms. And that looks different for everyone. Mm. Some people, you know, through their study of the scriptures, find a way to then become more of an apostle in their own parish, like in catechesis or RCIA. Some people, you know, learn about how God loves us so much and seeks us that they develop like a personal call that, yeah, I'm meant to accompany, you know, my niece or nephew or someone who's moved a little bit away from the Lord. But I see now how I am meant to be like God the Father and to faithfully accompany them on their way and guide them back. And one of the things that we do here across the board, so many people share how this gives them a deeper experience of the Eucharistic liturgy. Because now, when they hear those readings at Mass, they're hearing tidbits of, you know, like a dramatic movie that they know the
yeah.
whole story. And so that little excerpt means so much more, and they bring that to the Eucharist.
That's a really good point. What a great point. And I know, Colleen, people take it individually, like I'm my own person taking the class, but some people take it in groups. They'll take it online as a community that they're involved in, or a nonprofit, or a church group, or lay ministry. Do you see all kinds of people taking it together and individually as well?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, in the Archdiocese of Detroit and in many other places, there has been a resurgence of emphasis and just interest in the idea of forming small group communities. I think the pandemic has certainly, in a very blunt way, shown us all how important community is. And so we have, for example, a Bible study group maybe has been meeting in a parish for 10 years, and they'll hear about the Catholic Biblical School of Michigan starting up a new class nearby, and that group of six might come, and then they can stay a discussion group while participating in that bigger Catholic Biblical School of Michigan class. And one of the wonderful things that, you know, technology does allow today, we have, for that fully online class that you've been involved in, some people actually form a local in-person group. You know, they're going to get together at the local coffee shop once a week and discuss what they're doing in that online Catholic Biblical School Michigan class, but then they'll listen to those lectures online on their own time. So I think, you know, we live in a wonderful age where people are really being empowered, you know, to kind of take charge of their own discipleship and say, I'm going to follow Jesus and I need to figure out how, and I'm going to bring a group of people with me. And, you know, that's the way the church has always grown and been sustained. So that's just so wonderful to see.
Yeah, that's one. Colleen Vermeulen is who we're talking to here on Epiphany. We're talking about the Catholic Biblical School of Michigan, and people take it, the class online or in person. Colleen, how can we find out how to register and learn about more about the four-year program?
So our website is a great place to go for information, and that is cbsmich.org/join. J-O-I-N. So cbsmich.org is our website. And for those who are in the Southeast Michigan area, we have open house information nights coming up this summer. So next week we have one on Wednesday, July 28th at Holy Family in Grand Blanc in the evening. Then one on Thursday, July 29th at Our Lady Queen of Martyrs in Beverly Hills that evening. And then we'll be having some at the end of August, and also one online. So check out our website if you would like to know the dates of those info nights.
So, Colleen, what would you say to people listening here in Epiphany who feel a little bit overwhelmed or intimidated by Scripture and maybe have never picked up a Bible a day in their life?
Yeah, and that is, I want to say to every person who feels that way, you are not alone. I think if anything, that might be like the normative state of most of us as followers of Jesus, because it can be so intimidating. You know, the Bible's a big book, and as modern day Americans, like, we don't read stuff that's written thousands of years ago from Homer, like the Odyssey, and say, oh, this is so easy, right? So it takes some work. That's the human side of reading Scripture. But if you are baptized, you know, God has put the Holy Spirit in you, and the church says that that Holy Spirit enables you to interpret the Scriptures. But the church has also shown through her example that we're not asked to do that alone. So it can be intimidating to think about reading the Bible by yourself, or even, you know, if you're just listening to a podcast or even reading a commentary by yourself. So I would say, discern how I can find a community. Maybe it's in your parish. Maybe it's the Catholic Biblical School of Michigan. Maybe it's people in your family. But find a community so that you can journey together and be filled with the Holy Spirit to read those Scriptures. And, you know, community also helps for accountability. I often joke with people that one of the great things about signing up for a Catholic Biblical School of Michigan class, it's like if you sign up for that class at the gym, you know, like, instead of having to work out on your own at home, you see it on the calendar. Okay, Monday at 7 p.m. I don't really want to go work out, but yeah, I should really go to the gym and work out. So that's kind of one of the functions that a Catholic Biblical School Mass can play. It's a little bit of accountability to kind of just keep you on the Lord's path with reading those Scriptures.
And so what's been the feedback in the overall program and in the online program? How's the online going, and what's been the feedback?
Yeah, so overall, people are always just amazed. And in humility, that is not really, that's not because of us, the teachers. That it's because that's the Lord. That we view our job as we break down barriers so that the Lord can speak to people. And, you know, God does not disappoint. He always has more to give and more profound things than we as humans even imagine. So, probably one of the biggest feedback themes is just realizing how much God loves us and being motivated to take that into our own lives, into our families, into what we do in our parishes, what we do in the secular world, what we do in our jobs. You know, it impacts people in every part of their life. For the online class especially, so the online class, we've been doing this fully online class now for 2 years. So it actually started before the pandemic. And some of the interesting feedback there, I think, has been how much people love the opportunity to engage with like a real life teacher, someone who you actually get to interact with, you know, so not a DVD, but somebody who you interact with on a weekly basis from home or with the flexibility that they needed. You know, people who have young kids and it's hard to go to a class at their parish at, you know, 7-8 o'clock at night because they need childcare. So people who are able to participate in something that was never previously accessible is really one of the gifts of technology that the online class has given us.
Yeah. It's been such a help to me. In fact, I've been wanting to take the Catholic Biblical School of Michigan classes for a long time now and was never able to commit because of my work schedule and my daughter. And when you presented it online, I was like, I'm going to sign up. So I got in right in the first year and I'm going into year C. And it's been extremely beneficial because I still have a very hectic schedule and I absolutely love it. I have the whole week to read the readings, the scripture, answer the questions, engage in conversation. How is it growing and are you changing in any way? Is it evolving year to year?
Yeah, so it does evolve. In our history, so we were founded a little over 10 years ago. And it came from an idea that was being done in Denver called the Denver Catholic Biblical School of Michigan. And so we started with their curriculum, but a number of years ago, we started self-publishing here in Michigan, really with the emphasis of our wonderful local bishops on discipleship. And so we revise some of the discussion questions every year. We meet as teachers in the summer, which is going on right now, to just talk about what are we seeing and how the Lord is working in people and seeing with our diocese, our archdiocese, our parishes. And that shows us where to go. So that's one of the great things. You know, it's not set in stone. It is the living word of God. And so it is always evolving how it applies to our daily lives.
Is the online program going to be very much the same or has that changed, evolved in the last couple of years?
No, it's going to stay pretty much the same in format, which is a pre-recorded video lecture from your teacher. And then there's an option each week to have live discussion, whether you want to do that online in a video conference or do that in person with other people. Or for those who don't have that time, it's an option. And then also the sharing of written reflections with your teacher. So that's how that fully online class works. And you know, we keep it as technologically simple as possible.
You do.
are people of all ages who do it. We keep it low tech enough to be effective, but not technologically challenging so that people need to stay away if they're not tech savvy.
You know, that's a really good point. You do make it very tech friendly. And so you do have people of all ages, Colleen, in the courses, the online courses, and in the in-person courses?
Yes. So probably in the online courses, in the online classes, we go from people in their 20s up to their 70s. And then in the in-person classes, I know the oldest participant we've ever had, because I was blessed to teach her in my first year. She was 93 years old.
No way. Wow. That's awesome.
No, I guess I'll say she's near Temperance, Michigan. But she was an inspiration to me, you know, because God willing, I want to be 93 years old and still chasing after the Lord in Scripture and knowing that God wants to speak to me. She's
I love
a model.
It. That's awesome. I love it. So it's never too late to take a deep dive into Scripture. We'll never live long enough anyway to know everything we need to know about our faith. It's all a journey. And this is part of that journey. Colleen, what will year, I know you talked about what year C will look like for me, but who's teaching that class this year?
So the year C fully online class is going to be taught by Mark Postma. And he has been teaching us for a number of years, and this is going to be his first time going into the fully online class. And I think that's really one of the strengths of the Catholic Biblical School of Michigan. Our faculty come from all walks of life, and for none of us is this really our full-time job. Everybody has either a secular profession, or they work in a Catholic school, or they work in a parish. And so we kind of bring that approach of having one foot in that rich seminary intellectual tradition of the church and the other foot firmly planted in kind of just like that ordinary blessed Catholic life. And our fully online teachers are the same ones as the in-person classes. So again, that focus on actual engagement and community.
That's wonderful. So, Colleen, I have said this on the air that not only do we share our guests with our listeners so they can learn something new, it's also for me to learn something new. It's all a journey for me as well. Do you feel the same as an instructor? Are you constantly learning as you teach?
Absolutely. So, like you mentioned, I teach the Gospels and Paul's letters, and this will be my fifth time doing it. And the Lord, you know, just touches me in a different way every time I come to him in prayer and look at those same scriptures. So in some ways, there are things we always know to be true, and then, you know, the Holy Spirit wants to surprise us.
Hmm. Colleen Vermeulen, thank you so much for joining us here in Epiphany. Give out that website again and how we could sign up.
The Catholic Biblical School of Michigan, cbsmich.org.
Thank you, Colleen, for being with us here in Epiphany.
Thank you so much, Vanessa. Look forward to having you back in the fall.
I will be there. I'll be there for year C, Catholic Biblical School of Michigan. I'm looking forward to it. I'm heading into my third year of the four-year program. I've loved the last two. I really encourage our listeners to check it out. It's such a wonderful learning experience and faith journey, taking this dive into the scriptures and from a perspective of how it relates to your own personal journey in your life and looking at the scriptures with the help of an instructor, a live instructor who's helping you along the way, whether you're doing it online or in person. And then you're also having conversations with your fellow classmates. You can participate if you want. You don't have to if you don't want to. And as Colleen said, you can do these sessions where you're participating in a live online conversation, or some people meet at a coffee shop. So there's all kinds of options to really take a deep dive into scripture. So look into that. I want to thank all of our guests here today on Epiphany. Father Joseph Khalil for joining us, speaking about St. Charbel. Happy St. Charbel feast day. We ask him for intercessory prayer in our own personal intentions, as well as for the Middle East and all the chaos and anguish going on in Lebanon and between Lebanon and Israel, Iraq, all over the Middle East. There's so much turmoil, as you heard from Father Joseph Khalil. So let's ask St. Charbel for intercessory prayer for them today. And thank you, Father Stephen Pullis, for joining us here in Epiphany and sharing the story of Archbishop Alan Vigneron and his 25-year anniversary celebration this month as our bishop. And going through his Q&A, there's a wonderful article, as I mentioned in the interview, from the Detroit Catholic. It's on my Communications Evangelist Coach Facebook page. You could get the link there and share it with your friends and family and read that story. And Father Stephen Paulus also penned his own reflection about Archbishop Alan Vigneron, and I also posted that link on my public Facebook page. You can like my page. You can follow me on Twitter and on Instagram. I'm also on LinkedIn. If you want to find out more about what's going on here on Epiphany and all the things that I'm involved in terms of communications and coaching, especially from a Christian perspective. And we also want to remind you of our Family Fun Fest coming up this August, the 27th, 28th, and 29th. It's a three-day packed event. So there's a dinner on Friday, an all-day Family Fun Fest event on Saturday with so much going on with food, fun, activities for all ages of the family. There's a petting zoo. Silvano is going to be carving these beautiful wood images. He gave me two. He gave me a beautiful dove today, and he gave me an angel. They're gorgeous. I'm going to display them in my office. And there's so many kinds of events and opportunities happening. And then there's going to be a day of lecturing and speaking on Sunday. As always, remind our listeners here on Epiphany to connect, to communicate, and to collaborate with your Catholic community. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you tomorrow here on Epiphany.